And welcome to the 12th Moon Rising Seahawks podcast with Kevin Daggett and Lee Vowell. I'm Lee. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Here to preview game one, week one. Obviously, that's redundant, but who cares? The Seahawks are playing the Broncos in Denver, 1:25 p.m. Pacific time. Dog pound is already involved. For Sunday, so hopefully Pete Carroll is 1-7 in road openers. That's not necessarily the first week of the season, but it could be whenever the first road game happened. If it was game three, 1-7, and the Broncos are 51-8 at home in the first 2 weeks of the season since the merger. So the pass doesn't really help us very much, Kevin, but this is a new team, completely new team in a way, with especially defensively, got a lot of starters, and KJ Wright's out for this game. So let's start with the big news, though. Earl Thomas decided he was actually going to play in 2018. He didn't want to let the fans down, felt disrespected by the team because they didn't sign him to an extension and signed Dwayne Brown and Tyler Lockett and probably some others coming up, maybe Frank Clark, to extensions. But what's your take on Earl Thomas coming back?
I'm just glad he showed up to work. I think he should have showed up, in the beginning. I just don't understand. I don't know. I just show up to work. I mean, you're under contract. Show up to work. Tell them you want. Put your best effort forward, and the team's going to take care of you. I mean, they've proven that they've taken care of people in the past. So, these holdout things are ridiculous. It's professional sports, I guess. It's kind of the way they are because their careers are limited. But don't expect sympathy from me on that you're not getting for you got paid. He got paid pretty well on his last contract. So just because the next guy comes around and gets a better deal, that's the way it is. But show up to work and don't get hurt, and hopefully things will work out. But he kind of made some comments, back last year about, possibly playing in Dallas and this and that. So, he's in my opinion, shown some disloyalty, at least verbally, possibly. But, I don't know. I'm glad he's back. He's a good asset for the team. We need him on the team as a leader. Hopefully he can still be a leader with what he's done. I think he can. But, hopefully he comes back and ready to play.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Who's disrespecting whom at this point? Because he brought up the Dallas thing. I mean, he went into the locker room, whether he said, come get me, or whether he didn't. That's a strange thing for him to do. And then, you mentioned he is under contract. It's kind of a weird thing because maybe he's not making the money that, say, Eric Berry is at this point. But Eric Berry's contract is newer. And when Earl Thomas signed this contract, he signed the contract as, yes, I will accept this much every year, and therefore I will show up and play football for you for this amount every year. And you can't pay a player, based on what future inflation might be. It's like if you buy a 900-square-foot house in downtown Seattle and you get it for $500,000, and then in 5 years it's probably going to be $800,000. You're not going to purchase it for $800,000. Why would you do that? You're going to pay what the market value is for that time. And that's exactly what he signed on to when he signed the second contract. And now he wants a third. And he's worthy of getting a third, I think, at this point. I mean, he's going to be 30 soon. So, you think his game would start to digress, especially a game based on speed. But, he needs to show up and play his contract. Because I think, as you alluded to, the Seahawks have shown that they will be willing to pay players. I mean, they extended Dwayne Brown. They extended Tyler Lockett. Maybe they would have extended Earl Thomas if he'd actually shown up and played instead of, Cam Chancellor. They did sign him to a third contract and then ended up, hurting the Seahawks. So maybe that's what they're thinking, too. It's like, why do we want to sign a 30-year-old free safety whose game is based a lot on speed when in 3 or 4 years that speed's going to be digressing? And he's not going to be worth the money, so why would we want to tie ourselves up? But they haven't said that either. But getting back to your point, as far as being disrespectful, I don't feel like the team has disrespected him. They expect him to, play via his contract that he actually signed, and I don't think they've done anything to disrespect him other than extend him, but they can't extend him because he's not in camp anyway. So what's he want?
So moving on. These teams can't. It's not a one-way street with these contracts. It's a two-way street, and you can't just say, "Hey, I want an extension." Oh, you're not going to extend me? Well, screw you. I'm not going to show up. I mean, that's childish. I don't know. These guys, I have really a lack of empathy or sympathy for these guys when they're making millions of dollars, crying poor mouth, and my career's limited. You know, how much more money do you need, really? Now, you know, but well, the owners are making a lot of money. Okay, and they're the ones that are risking it all. I mean, you're an employee. Show up to work. You know, I mean, it's not if you want to run the show, then go buy a team or get it. You know, go do something else. But I don't know. And it's not just Earl Thomas; it's all these guys. You know, and then you look at some of these big players who not going to mention any names because I mean, there's a few of them, but they restructure their contracts. So the team can hire more, not bad English, but to hire better players and more players to make the team better. And then you've got some of these other guys that it's all about me and I want to get mine and screw everybody else. So, and I'm not going to show up. And, you know, I think they should fine him for every penny he needs to get fined for.
Yeah, and they've decided not to do that. You know, they've.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that. You know, and there was probably a phone call that said, "Hey, if you show up to work today, we'll throw the fines out. If you show up to work before the first game, then we'll get rid of the fines." I'll guarantee you, there was some kind of phone call like that. Why would he just all of a sudden show up on Wednesday before the first game? I mean, that's
true.
I mean, there had to be some back tie. Maybe he's pissed off because that phone call went, "Listen, show up to work. We won't fine you, but we're not going to extend you until you show that you can play," or something like that. That might be, who knows what he's talking about, but I don't know.
Yeah, and some of it comes back to these guys' agents. You know, the agent is telling them because that's what their job is. They're advising them on what they should do, and I don't know. It's not a smart move. I mean, and we say that, and you see exactly what happens with Khalil Mack, where he gets traded to the Bears and then gets this humongous contract extension. But the Bears, it's funny because it's like, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, because it's the same situation though. He held out and then he ended up getting his wish and got more money and blah, blah, blah. And people are talking about maybe this is a win-win. To me, this is like a lose-lose for each team. I mean, the Raiders lost Khalil Mack and the Bears lost two first rounders and they're paying out the wazoo for this guy who's a defensive player, I mean, who, you know, and by the end of the contract, because of the way the NFL is nowadays and people getting injured, may not even be worth it. It's just, I don't know, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
But moving on to happier news, Shaquem Griffin is going to be the starter. I mean, happier because it's such a good story and we don't want to miss KJ Wright. He's an extremely good player. Maybe this is a Lou Gehrig situation. Maybe Shaquem will get in the game and be like, "Well, we're never getting your starter spot back, KJ Wright," which he will. But, you know, maybe he'll play that well and we'll be thinking, well, maybe KJ Wright shouldn't start, or maybe they should do something else or move Shaquem to, you know, whatever, strong safety or whatever, and see how he does. Because, you know, he's not a big guy, but he's fast. So what's your take on Shaquem Griffin getting that start in week one?
I think he earned it. I mean, he played well in the preseason. I mean, there's, you know, a couple of games. And you're right, he is fast. I mean, he gets some good penetration. And, he's not nearly as big as KJ Wright. And, you know, KJ Wright, he's a phenomenal player. And he's, you know, it's going to take quite a performance or two to relieve him of his starting role. But, yeah, I think Griffin's going to be nice. It is a good story. I mean, they're going to have, you know, the brothers starting on the defense together. And, you know, it's a great story, if nothing else. But he deserved it. I mean, he earned the spot. He is the backup and the starter's out. So it's his job. And, you know, like I always say, I love these guys get the opportunity to make a team and get a position. You know, these young guys, they'll go out and do everything they can to do it because there's such limited space on these teams for jobs, and you don't want to lose it.
How big of a Mother's Day gift do the Seahawks send Shaquille and Shaquem's mother next year?
Jeez. Tell you what, not big enough, whatever it is.
Wow, I mean, just, wow. Man, that's some gifted athleticism in that family. Holy cow. So Brett Hundley is now the backup to Russell Wilson. Of course, he hasn't played a down because he had to pass his physical before he could even play the final preseason game of 2018. But, you know, Austin Davis didn't do horribly that last preseason game. Not that I wanted him to, but it would have been nice if he hadn't played as well as he did, especially with that long, you know. But obviously, Alex Magoo was not the answer to any kind of backup situation. You happier with Brett Hundley?
Yeah, I am. I think he was a good college player. I think he's a good backup. I don't know that he's well enough to start, but we'll see if, you know, again, we the way Russell Wilson plays, we're always hoping every season that he doesn't get hurt because he is the key but I think, you know, if Hundley can play backup to Russell Wilson for a couple of years, he might become a starter, but I don't know. But I think he's a great backup. I like him. I do like him better than Austin Davis. I just have never been really that impressed with Austin Davis.
No. Davis is a game manager, I guess. But, you know, even then he's not that good. But at least Hundley has now NFL experience based on last season. He wasn't great, but, you know, in the system that the Seahawks run, which is probably better suited to him than what the Packers do, I think he's, you know, it was a decent trade, and they didn't give up a whole lot for him anyway. It's kind of funny. What was the rumor a few weeks ago where the Seahawks were talking about, oh, we're trading a second-round draft pick for, wasn't Bridgewater. I can't remember who it was, but it was like, they're definitely not trading a second-round draft pick for a backup quarterback.
No.
Rumors God. Like that. Stupid.
I tell you what, though, they're going to have a hard time paying Russell Wilson and keeping any other good players in the team when his contract comes around.
I know. But at least the salary cap goes up every year, and, you know, maybe they'll – I don't know. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, because next year, I mean, we've got – Wagner has two more years left, and then Wright's up this year. You know, it's funny. I'm politically, we are different, but I think we see a lot of the same common things as far as if you're getting paid, you should probably show up to work. Because that's what you signed up for. That's what you chose to do. You chose to sign. And I guess that's one thing that makes me more of a fan for KJ Wright, because his contract, he's not as valuable as Earl Thomas, but he's not far off. And what have you heard this guy complain at all? And no. And it's like he is definitely worthy of an extension. And his contract's up after this season. Yep. So that's another guy they're going to have to pay. And Frank Clark, you know, if he produces this year, they're going to have to pay him. I guess every NFL team goes through this. And maybe that's one reason. Maybe the Seahawks are being smart as far as that transition, as far as, you know, getting rid of Michael Bennett, who wasn't as good last year, and getting rid of Richard Sherman, who may not have been as good last year, maybe starting to get a little bit injured, and trying to turn over the roster, because they know they're going to have to pay some of these players, and in turn, they're going to have to try to find talent otherwise, who's going to be not worthless, but worth less money. Right. Maybe they're making – we'll see. We'll see in two or three years if we're the Cleveland Browns or we are able to maintain a decent team.
Although didn't we just get a guy from the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah. But the Browns are actually, you know, and even though they've been 0-16, it feels like for the last 17 years they haven't been. I mean, they've won some games, but not last year. But they were 4-0 last year. It's kind of funny because they were 4-0 in the preseason and they didn't win any games. And the Lions that year, they didn't win any games. They were 4-0 in the preseason. So 0-4 in the preseason for the Seahawks doesn't really mean anything.
And so weren't the Eagles 0-4 in the preseason last year?
Yeah, and they were terrible all year long until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Any roster cuts that surprised you at all? I mean, it seemed pretty clear cut. It wasn't anything that really stood out to me. But what about you?
No, it was pretty. I think it was pretty predictable. I like those couple of those receivers they kept on the practice squad though. Reynolds and is that other kid Moore or what?
Moore made the team, but yeah. I mean, the practice squad, it's like always in transition, so it's, you know, it's a weird thing. Like, who did they just release today that made the practice squad? And it was like, oh, he made the practice squad. Oh, no, he didn't. I mean, it's such a fluid thing. And, you know, not even talking about the practice squad, but, you know, on the roster cuts. I mean, Byron Maxwell went on IR. I think that's just a matter of, you know, working out a deal where he gets released and accepts a buyout at this point. This is interesting to me because Byron Maxwell came back, what, week 11 last year after Sherman and Chancellor were injured in week 10. And he did pretty well after really not doing that well with the Eagles and the Dolphins, and he came back to Seattle and did really well. He was injured all training camp and preseason, but just from what I was – and I don't know him, and I'm just some schlub who's talking about it. But to me, it seems like maybe he just doesn't want to play, you know?
Yeah.
Because
that's a possibility, but, man, I tell you what, they got some pretty good young guys in that defensive backfield now.
They do. And I think that's a good thing. I think Maxwell, you know, Dante Johnson's going to start. And I know there's a lot of right corner and corner and then opposite Shaquille Griffin. And I know there's a lot of people say, oh, Dante Johnson didn't even, he got, you know, 49ers didn't want him and they're not even any better than the Seahawks and the Seahawks should be better in secondary. I think Dante Johnson's a better fit, even though they run kind of the same system. I think he fits better. I also think Pete Carroll's a better defensive back because we all really know he's a defensive backs coach. I think he's a better defensive backs coach than what they had in San Francisco, and I think Johnson will be good. But I really think he's kind of holding the spot for Trey Flowers, so maybe that's what the Seahawks saw too, because it's like if we can work out a buyout with Maxwell. I mean, I don't know how that affects the salary cap, but long-term, he's not the answer anyway. It's Trey Flowers, I'm assuming. Wouldn't you assume that as well?
Yeah, I would. But, I mean, I like Byron Maxwell. He's a gamer, and he was, you know, one of those original guys. But I was glad to see him come back, and he did play well. We'll see if, you know, comes back from an injury. But, you know, before the season started, before the preseason started, I was a little skeptical of this whole team. But as the preseason went on, it looks to be shaping up pretty well.
Just, you know, funny to say when they went 0-4, isn't it?
I know, right? But it is. But if you look at the way they played, I mean, you know, the defensive backfield looks good. They're young. They got some guys in there that can, you know, move around. The offensive line seems to be shaping up pretty good.
Fetty didn't look too awful.
Hopefully he gets his shit together. And, I mean, that guy, I don't know. I'm about over him, but we'll see. I mean, you know, Fant can move around, and we'll see. But
and they led against not, the,
it doesn't
they
look led against horrible. The Vikings.
Right, right. Yeah. In the first half of games when the starters were playing, I mean, they were – it's not like they were losing. They led at halftime against a good Vikings team, and it was a legitimate, you know, I mean, and that's still playing without Doug Baldwin and some other players. So, I mean, nobody's scheming against the other team, so we'll see a huge difference this week. But I do think, you know, it's a good time to move on to the Broncos game. The secondary, obviously the Broncos can get after the quarterback. They're well coached on how to do that. Plus they have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb's going to be probably pretty good, but their secondary isn't like world beaters or anything like that. I think if Wilson has time to throw with Baldwin, even though I like his comment, he's 80-85% healthy, but he said, quote unquote, I haven't been healthy since I was born. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I mean, they get Tyler Lockett and Brandon Marshall. I mean, I think they've got, and David Moore's stepped up. They've got players who are better, I think, than the Broncos secondary. Plus, I'll be interested to see how Brian Schottenheimer actually uses C.J. Procise, for instance. McKissick's out, you know, IR now, I think, at this point. But how he uses Procise, maybe not just in the backfield, tries to get him out wide because he was a receiver in college to begin with. And, you know, if he stays healthy, could be a productive player. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think they match up well against the secondary. It's a matter of if Wilson has time to actually throw the ball. And then, of course, forgetting the passing game, are they going to be able to run the ball, you know, like they did in preseason game 3? They did okay. And, of course, Penny will be back. Chris Carson looks good. I mean, I feel optimistic about the offense, but I also feel like I don't really have a good reason for feeling optimistic. In a way, it's strange. So, any takes on offense versus Seahawks offense versus Broncos defense in Week One?
I think our receiving core is better this year than it has been, with the addition of Marshall and you know, some of those young guys, and you know, Baldwin and Lockett. If they can stay healthy, you know, the running backs, all those running backs are good. The big thing is going to be, can they stay healthy? I mean, Carson, Procise, you know, they both got a tendency to get hurt. Davis, I mean, that guy's a beast. So, I mean, they all looked good, but I think we're the best we've been in a long time with the running backs if they all stay healthy, and I like our receiving core. Now, the Broncos are also a team just like the Seahawks who are pretty, over the years, have been pretty defensive-oriented, so, you know, they won that Super Bowl because of their defense, not because of Peyton Manning, but they've got a good defense. They always have a good defense, but I think we'll do all right. I mean, I think it's a win as far as I'm concerned, just because, you know, and that rivalry goes way back to the old AFC West days when Seattle was in the AFC West and the Broncos was always a big rivalry. So, and I think some of us fans have never put that behind us. I mean, it's always, you always want to beat the Broncos and the Raiders, but just because.
right. Yeah, I mean, Seahawks are 19-34 against the Broncos all time. It's kind of crazy.
I tell you one thing, too, is it hasn't really been mentioned a lot lately because it really doesn't need to be mentioned. It's, you know, it's not a problem, and most of the time people focus on the problems, but I honest to God think that Sebastian Janikowski is going to win a couple games for us. And as opposed to Blair Walsh losing a few, I think Janikowski is a guy, he can win you games. And that damn punter, geez. I mean, our special teams, what a upgrade this year from, you know, not that Ryan was horrible, but this kid just comes in, and I mean, he's a special player.
He's special, and
Janikowski, you know, the 260-pound left footer, which I got a little affinity for left footers, but he's so big he can't even tuck his shirt in. But hey, guy's a beast.
Yeah, but yeah, Michael Dixon is it's insane how he kicks the ball. It's almost like, I don't know, and now he's going to be kicking it at Mile High Stadium in Denver Week One. It's crazy. I mean, it's almost, I don't ever want the Seahawks to punt, but if they do, it'll be fun to watch, especially in Denver. I mean, any prediction for the game? You have, it's on the road, Week One, tough matchup. You think the Seahawks can pull it out?
I think the Seahawks will pull it out, and I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game because, you know, like both of the teams are defensive-oriented, and I don't know that the Broncos got all that great of an offense, but I think the Seahawks pull it out.
So any score prediction?
3-2? Yeah, maybe 24-17.
Gotcha. Edwin Diaz comes in and saves at the end.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I always feel funny picking for the Seahawks because I feel like I jinx them. So I'll say 97-3 Broncos at halftime. So last thing, I'll put you on the spot. Any prediction as to how many games the Seahawks win this year?
I went through the schedule a couple weeks ago, and I think I came up with 10-6. I'd have to go through it again to figure out who I picked to win and lose, but I think I came up with 10-6.
Awesome. I'm going to say 8-8 just because they could win 6, they could win 10, they could win 12, they could win, well, I don't even talk about if Wilson got hurt. That would be 3. So I'll say 8-8 and anything above that, which is a shame to say because they've been so good for the last several years. But 8-8 in that conference and just teams, you know, making some changes in the roster. hopefully they'll exceed that, and hopefully he'll be one of those younger Pete Carroll teams that has a chip on his shoulder and does really well. But I'll say 8-8. I don't think they win on Sunday, but I hope they do, obviously. But so anyway, that's our show. Hopefully the Seahawks have a good season, and
hey,
we'll be
let
back
me ask every you week. One question. Let me ask you one question, Lee.
The answer
did
is
you
Friday.
Notice? I noticed in this preseason, I don't know if it's going to continue, but it seemed like there was a lot more stunts run on the defense than there has been in the past. Just a lot more blitzing and things like that. Do you think that's going to continue, or did I see something that wasn't there?
I think they have to. I think they have to blitz because, I mean, those defensive ends that they have, I mean, Frank Clark is he's good, but is he great? We don't know. We've never seen him be great. Deion Jordan is a physical freak, but we can't see him stay healthy. Brendan Jackson actually is now on the practice squad. Yashim Green is a rookie. I think they've got to get some stunting because, I mean, as good as the secondary could or could not be now that Thomas is back, if you don't get any pressure on the quarterback, you know, what good does it do you?
That was a problem last year is we didn't put any pressure on quarterbacks.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and that's my fear going into this season. I don't think the pass rush is any better. I think it's probably worse starting off than it was last year. So, and I can't see how it would get better during the season. So, yeah, I mean, that's my biggest concern, actually, for the Seahawks is pass rush. Is Frank Clark able to make that next step? Is Deion Jordan able to stay out? There's so many question marks. There's not one solid. At least if we had Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett, you knew what you're getting for the most part. Plus, Frank Clark was the third guy. Now he's got to be the first guy. I don't know. It's
or Malik McDowell. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I still wonder what happened with that.
Oh, what a waste of a pick.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
What could have been?
No, that's the shame. Is that, I mean, you kind of take the same kind of chance, you know, with Frank Clark, really, when he came in. Different kind of issue, but he's panned out, and he seems like he hasn't run into any trouble, really, or anything. But Malik McDowell was just like a big question mark when they drafted him. And then who knows what happened on that ATV. It's just so weird. What really happened so that you could no longer play, ever? It's just strange. So
it's very strange, but
anyway, that's so. As always, you have the last two words of the show.
Go Hawks!